1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light, as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Father, we love You this morning. You are a holy God. You desire us to be holy individuals. Your grace is greater than all sin. Your blood is powerful enough this morning to make us like You. Have thine way this morning in every heart and every life. May Your anointing rest upon these lips of clay. Listen here in Your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Jesus told His disciples, "I am the light of the world." The Bible says, "My light will dispel the darkness," symbolic of sin. That where sin does abound, the grace of God much more abounds. And because of Jesus, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, you and I can become holy disciples of Jesus Christ. But I want us to realize what the Scripture says here this morning. But if is a second word. Have you ever noticed how many times the word if is mentioned in the Bible? Many, many times. Every time I see the word if in the Bible, I always say to myself, "Pat, it depends upon you if this happens or not." It all begins at the cross. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's conditioned upon man confessing. And if man never confesses they're a sinner, they will never be saved. It's conditional this morning. But whosoever shall confess their sins to Jesus Christ, not to me, not to someone else, but to Jesus Christ, He will not cast us away, but He will forgive us and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to bring them up to our memory again. Aren't you glad that this morning? Say amen. Jesus forgives the sins that I have committed. I've been in the church all my life, and I've heard people testify, "Well, I've been a Christian all my life." No truth to that statement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a Jesus this morning who will forgive of the sins that I have committed and bring me into a right relationship with the loving Heavenly Father. What can do that? Only Jesus can. By what source? Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. No denomination can do that. No works can do that. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, as we are now Christians, since we have repented of our sins, received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is something else God wants to do for us. It is a second definite crisis experience. It's not for the world, not for the sinner, but it's for that individual Christian who says, I will walk in the light. Walking means you're going somewhere. If I want to get from here to there, I've got to walk to get there. I've got to put forth some effort. I've got to have a desire to get from here to there if I ever get there. I've got to do my part. And then God will do what He promised. Light. Revealed to every person. At some time or another, light, the revelation that there is a need for Jesus, the revelation that there is a need in your life for something beyond forgiveness, is going to come to every heart and every life. If we walk in the light, I've got to obey God. I've got to obey God to get saved. I've got to obey God to become sanctified as He wants me to be. I've got to obey God. I cannot say, well, I'm saved and that's all there is to it. There is more to serving Jesus than getting saved. We become children of God by obeying the Holy Spirit's conviction. And we stay saved by obeying the Holy Spirit. And then as I obey the Holy Spirit, He will show me things that I need in my life. As I obey the Holy Spirit, as I walk in the light that He gives to me, I will become aware that there is a need of something else for my heart condition. I have had people to say to me, I've even had preachers to say to me, well, I do not use the word sanctification. Well, you're going to have to take away many scriptures out of the Bible. It's a biblical term. And if God did not want me to receive this experience, He would not have mentioned it so many times. And from Genesis to Revelation, it is so revealed, no one needs to miss it. I really don't believe that God cares what I call it. Entire sanctification, perfect love, baptism with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the second blessing. The terminology is not what is important today. I'd rather not know the correct terminology and possess the experience. For this is more than simply a biblical doctrine. God desires it to be a biblical experience in every heart and every life. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. If we planned to spend eternity with people we worship with on Sunday morning in a place called heaven, we must be able to fellowship with them here. If I have to shun someone, that means I have a spiritual problem. if I see someone coming down the aisle at Walmart and I suddenly change my list of things to buy, go to the other aisle, that means I've got a spiritual problem. Fellowship one with another. Because one of these days, every person who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb will make it home to heaven. I am not the judge, but someday the judge will reveal and everyone will know who made it to the city. But until that day does come, I must be able to have fellowship with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from, does it say some sin? All sin. God does not want me to keep a little sin to keep me humble. God does not want me to keep a little sin in my life just to prove that I'm human. But today He says, my blood that my Son Jesus shed on a hill called Calvary, it will cleanse from all sin and make a person holy and godly and Christ-like in an old sinful and adulterous generation today. Almost every Protestant church believes in holiness. Believes in being filled with the Spirit. Living a holy life. But there are those today who believe that it happens at conversion. So let's address that just for a moment. You that are Christians here this morning, when you came to Jesus, were you in a right relationship with Him? No way. When a sinner comes to Jesus to receive Him as their personal Savior, we were hopeless, lost, empty, looking, and searching. Thereby, I had nothing that Jesus wanted. But when I came to Him in repentance and He dipped His brush in the blood bank of Calvary, He washed my sins away, cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me any longer. And thereby, then, at that moment, I became a living sacrifice. Before that moment, I was dead in trespasses and sins. But at the point of conversion, I became alive unto God. The Bible says we become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I believe this morning that it is possible to be forgiven of our sins, to be cleansed from our sins, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in the same service, the same altar call. But not at the same moment. There is a difference. It can happen at the same altar, at the same altar call, but not at the same moment, because there are two distinct works of grace. Jesus wants us to be forgiven, to become adopted into His family. And then He says, I will withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. And thereby, He wants us to bring that living sacrifice to Him now and give it totally, unreservedly to Him. And now, I can present my body as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is my and our reasonable service. And now we have something that God wants. I have a life that's now worth living. I have a life now that has joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have a life now that has peace with God. I have a life now that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And thereby he says, I want that life back. You see, if you try to keep that life, you lose it. But if you want to keep your relationship with Christ, you must give what he gave to you back to him. Amen. Today, my dear friend, this experience goes beyond forgiveness of sins. It goes deeper than the stain of sin has ever gone. And then there are those who believe that we grow in the grace, and thereby we, somewhere along the journey of growing, we enter into the experience of entire sanctification, of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Without a birth, there is no growth. In the natural, outwardly, where everyone can see it. And spiritually, my friend, there is a degree of growth. Once we become a child of God. Because he is going to give us light. He is going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to start doing this. I want you to stop doing this. And as we walk in the light, as we're obedient, we're growing. We're not walking backwards. We're not rebelling. But we're getting closer to the point where Christ wants to do something else for us. Yes, there is a growth after the conversion, but there must come that time of the crisis. There must come that time that I, in a moment of surrender, am suddenly cleansed from all sin. And then there are those who believe that there is a purgatory. Not biblical. My spiritual condition, when my heart beats for the last time, will be my eternal spiritual condition. And there are those who believe that shortly before death, physical death, God will sanctify me wholly. I read the story about a preacher who had preached all of his life in his ministry that shortly before he died, he would ask God to sanctify him, and God would. He became terminally ill. The doctor said, you only have a few more days at the most to live. So he calls some of his co-workers, ministers in to pray with him that God would sanctify him wholly. And as they were praying, God gloriously sanctified him wholly. But God also physically healed him. So he had a problem. He had to change his message now. Why would a loving God withhold something that I so desperately need to live victoriously in this life? Wait until I'm about ready to leave this world to do it for me? The answer is, He doesn't want me to wait. God is never the one that is delaying the experience. It's always man's disobedience. You see today, my friend, God has the grace. He has the power right now to save the whole world. Right now, He's got the power to do it. I hear people all the time saying, well, I know that God will save my loved ones in His time. God is not the reason our loved ones are not saved today. Let's stop blaming God for that. It's because of the rebellious spirit to come to the cross. They're not saved. Why is it that there's so many people, Christians, disciples of Christ in our churches across America that are not sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit of God? It's not because of God, but it's because of man's rebellious and disobedient spirit. Because God wants to do it now. Because yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. Now is when God wants to do the work of grace. Then there are those who say, well, you've got to suppress it. Just push it on the carpet. Try to control it. Try to control that temper. Try to control the anger problem. Hello, anybody breathing? Just try to control it. You know you know there's no answer for it. You know there's no cure for it. So just kind of keep it at a minimum. People that do that are literally saying, Jesus does not have the power to cleanse me from all sin and make me holy in an unholy world. Amen. Jesus is greater than all sin that I have committed, and Jesus' blood is more powerful than the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And the blood of Jesus Christ can purify the heart and make the heart holy and make the heart clean and make the heart like Jesus wants it to be in an unholy world today. Jesus' blood has the power to do that. Who needs to be cleansed? Who needs to be sanctified? Who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? The answer is every person who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven of your sins, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you are a candidate to this experience this morning. The problem today is so many of our members in our churches across America, they're walking behind light. You have heard this message preached hundreds of times. My question to you this morning is, have you ever obeyed God and received the experience? You say, preacher, do I have to be sanctified, cleansed from all sin to go to heaven? You say, preacher, what about the thief on the cross? Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I know that, but the day he got saved, he went to heaven. You didn't. You see, this experience is for living. This experience that I'm trying to deliver, communicate to you this morning, is not for anything other than for living a victorious Christian life in an old defeated world today. Is your spiritual life today on a roller coaster? One Sunday morning you're flying like an eagle. On Monday you're clucking like a prairie chicken. Low enough to shake hands with a grasshopper. Let me tell you, my friend, this experience will bring stability to your spiritual walk. And if the church in America ever needed more people to become established in the grace of God and become stable, rooted, and grounded Christians, it's today. There's so many Christians today, and I'm not saying they're not going to heaven, but yet they're doing nothing in the kingdom of God. If we walk in the light, His blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and empower you to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. This morning, do you have the experience? This morning, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses through and through? Why does a Christian need to be sanctified? Because the sinful nature remains at your conversion. The carnal nature remains at your conversion. Paul says it like this in Romans. I want to do good, but I just can't do it. Does that describe you? You know how you ought to live. You know what you ought to do in the church. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. But you just can't seem to do it. Does that describe you? God's already shown you what you got to do. Because God never keeps something from an individual that they need. So God, the Holy Spirit, has already shown you as a Christian what you need to do. So the question now is, will you do it? Paul said, I want to do good, but I just can't seem to do it. It is no longer I that is doing it, but it is sin, singular tense. Sin that dwelleth within me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Not the Church of the Nazarene. Not the Baptist. Not the Assembly of God. Not the Catholic, but I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. My dear friend, this morning Jesus not only shed His blood on the cross, but the Bible says that He shed His blood outside the gate that we might be sanctified holy. That's Bible this morning. Why does a person need to be sanctified? Because the carnal nature wants to rule your life and eventually ruin your spiritual experience. You cannot tame the carnal nature. You either have the carnal nature cleansed, or eventually you will lose out with God. There is no riding the fence. There's no trying to do it in your own strength and power. It only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. When can a Christian be sanctified? As soon as you know that there is something else that God wants to do for you. At that moment, you can obey, and the experience will be yours. Children of Israel were brought out of Egyptian bondage. Cross the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried too, they were all drowned. Symbolic of being delivered from sin, the children of Israel. It was only a few days' journey from there to the promised land. The land that was flowing with milk and honey. When they came out of Egypt, they began to say, "Hey, we had water to drink back there. Let's go back." And they began to murmur and complain. But God miraculously turned the bitter water into sweet water. And He miraculously got water out of a rock to quench their thirst. But Jesus says, "I am the living water. And the person who drinks from this well will never thirst again." They were hungry. He rained manna from heaven for them. But Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." You don't have to be spiritually thirsty. You don't have to be physically hungry. God, through Jesus Christ, is the source of all you need this morning and for the rest of your life. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Every Sunday morning they made a lap around the wilderness and they viewed the promised land. Can you imagine that? 40 years. Making a lap every Sunday morning, every revival. They were making a lap around the promised land. They would look over there and say, "Wouldn't that be wonderful to possess?" How many Christians today hear a message such as this, and they say, "It would be great to live that life. But what if I fail?" Trick of the devil. God is greater than the deceiver this morning. The devil's never told you the truth yet, and he won't start this morning. And they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. They were close, but we're not playing horseshoes. Closeness doesn't count. They were close to going into the land. How many church people today across America have been close, that close, to making the step of faith and giving it all to God, but they made one more trip? They said, "Not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe when I get home, maybe next Sunday, maybe next revival, at a more convenient time I will." they could have possessed it. But you know the story. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, 20 years of age and above, that crossed the Red Sea on dry ground when coming out of Egypt, would enter into the land that was flowing of milk and honey. Everybody else died in the wilderness. Wasn't God's will. But because of their rebellion, disobedience, they died in the wilderness. You don't have to this morning. This morning you can enter into the promises of God until your life will never be the same. You see, this morning, there is an experience that goes deeper than the stain of sin. There is an experience today that will equip you to be what God wants you to be. If we walk in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will continuously cleanse us from all sin. It's not one trip to the altar. It's not two trips to the altar that's going to get me home to heaven. It's my continuous obedience to God. For Jesus says it's not the one that begins the race that shall be saved, but it's the one that endures to the end. And the only way I'm going to endure to the end is to obey God in every area of my life. How can a person, in closing this morning, be sanctified, cleansed, filled with the Holy Spirit? Very simple. Just a few weeks ago in revival, there's a man who came to the altar to be sanctified, and he stood and testified, and he said, "I've been making this so hard." He said, "I'd been trying to work it out myself," but he said, "Tonight God showed me all I had to do is just ask Him." It's not hard this morning, my friend. It just takes a willing heart. That's all it takes. All it takes is a heart that is willing to surrender everything to Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. It was in a revival many years ago. A lady came to the altar to receive the experience. And she stood and she testified. She said, "I was born and raised in a Nazarene home parsonage." She said, "When I turned 18, I left mom and dad. I left the church. I left God right there at that church." She said, "I went and sowed my wild oats, lived the way I wanted to live." This lady now is probably, at that time, was probably late 30s. She said, "Only a couple of years ago, I came back to church. I got saved. Jesus gloriously saved me from my sins." And she said, "Since that time of my conversion, just a couple of years ago," she said, "I've been doing everything that I could in the church, trying to repay God for my wasted years." But she said, "Tonight, God showed me, no matter how much I work in the church, no matter what I do, I can never deserve this experience." And she said, "Tonight God showed me that if I would just simply give Him my all, He would do the rest." What is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, need in the church today across America? I don't claim to be smart nor wise, but I can tell you the answer. It's for people who go to church on Sunday morning to get sold out to go with God. And people who come on Sunday night, and people who come on Wednesday night, and people who come to revival get sold out to go with God. For you see, it is not simply going to church that makes me sold out. Hello. It is not simply me going to church when the doors are open that makes me sanctified. See, the devil doesn't care if I go to church and preach 7 days a week, every week of the year. He doesn't care if you come to hear me preach. Just so you never, or I never, make a total surrender, consecration to Jesus Christ. You see, that is what makes the difference this morning. It is you and I consecrating our everything to Jesus Christ. My past, my present, my future. A lot of people today are living in their past. A lot of people today are determining their spiritual walk today based upon what they have experienced in the past. But let me tell you, the past is past. Get over it. God never consults your past to determine what He will do for you today. That's good news today. You see, today, my friend, God wants you to give you the present with all your hurts, your pains, your questions, your concerns, your needs, your problems, your heartaches. He wants you to give them all to Him. And then He wants you to give Him your future. Don't listen to the world concerning the future. Look to the Word of God, because your future can be as bright as the promises of God. Because God is already in your tomorrow right now. He's there. And let me tell you something. A lot of people make fun of the old timers, you know, way back yonder, when they said, give God the known and the unknown. Let me tell you something. They were right on target. All you and I can see is this moment back. We don't even know what the next breath will bring, much less Monday morning. That's why we need to give it all to God. I'm sure most people have stayed in a motel in their life. You go in, you ask for a room. The clerk, after you pay, will give you a little card, something the size of a credit card. Put it in the computer and program it. And let's just say they put you in room 110. You can take that key up to room 110. Put it in the slot. The green light will come on. You can enter. But if you try to take that same key card to room 210, you won't get in, because that card only fits one room. Forgiveness is that forgiveness. It will not cleanse you. Hello. But there is someone in that motel or hotel who has a master key that can go to room 110, 210, 310, 410, every room in the hotel. So many Christians today, they simply give Jesus the key to one room in their life. But if you ever intend to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you must give Jesus right away. Give Him the master key to your heart so that He can go to every room in your life and cleanse you and fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. And the moment that you make a total consecration, He cleanses. How does He do it, preacher? Don't know. Not trying to figure it out. But I know that the moment that a person makes a total consecration, that's my part, that's your part, then God does His part. He cleanses. And He fills that clean vessel with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that came on 120 in the upper room 2,000 years ago. You say, preacher, I have received forgiveness. I've been cleansed and filled with the Spirit of God. I was a long time ago. That's good. But how long has it been since you had a refilling of the Holy Spirit of God? Regardless of how many miles per gallon your vehicle gets that you came to church in today, you can't go from this place to the West Coast or the East Coast on what fuel is in the tank. You're going to have to stop along the way. Put some more in it. And today that applies spiritually. There's going to be times where you and I are going to have to come back to the cross and say, God, I'm running a little low today. I need to be refilled with the power of your Spirit. Can never deserve this. But by God's mercy and God's grace, through our obedience and our faith, He will come and do the work today. Please stand. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for Your divine presence. You have been here. You're here right now. No one here this morning is here by coincidence, but by divine appointment. So God, my prayer this morning is for Your people that they will totally obey You in these next few moments. Lord, if there is a Christian here that needs a refilling, may they lead the way this morning to the altar. And Father, if there's someone here this morning, they know they've been forgiven, but they're never totally consecrated everything to You. May they step out, come to this altar, and ask God to do the work that only He can do. In the name of Jesus and the power of His blood, we ask it to be done right now.